Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. Thanks so much for joining us this week. With us is the Attorney General of California, Rob Bonta, who made national headlines this week when California became the first state in the union to sue the Trump administration over tariffs. We talked to him about that, about the promise of a lawsuit over the AmeriCorps funding, and about the Menendez case, which is also making international news. Then a conversation with our panel, Bob Shrum on the left, legendary Democratic strategist, chair of the or director of the USC Center for the Political Future, and one of the fellows there, Jessica Patterson, who is the former chair of the California Republican Party. We'll hear from them in a moment, but let's start with Rob Bonta and with a little bit of the press conference this week with Governor Newsom and Attorney General Bonta. Mr. Attorney General, welcome back to The Issue Is.
Great to see you, Alex. Thanks for having me.
All right. So in the most simple and concise terms for most of us who are not lawyers out there, what is your argument for suing over tariffs?
That the Trump administration has no legal authority to issue the tariffs under the IEEPA, under the emergency tariffs under the IEEPA. Why? Under the U.S. Constitution, Article 1, Section 8 gives the power to tax to Congress, not to the executive branch, not to the president. Tariffs are taxes. Indeed, Congress sometimes delegates authority to tax or to impose tariffs to the president. And when there is clear authority to do so, the president may under that authority. But the IEEPA doesn't even mention the word tariff. No president in the history of the law in almost 50 years has ever imposed a tariff under the IEEPA. So the stated authority for issuing the tariffs that the president cites to does not give him the authority to impose tariffs, certainly not the universal tariffs against every single trading partner of the United States.
You know, the office of the presidency has wide authority on a lot of things. He can pardon whoever he wants. He can declassify whatever he wants. Is there any example of the Supreme Court telling the president that a national emergency you declared isn't really an emergency?
So it depends on what the facts and the law, the standard for what an emergency is. And certainly the courts can interpret executive action and limit or state what the limits are. We're not as focused, though, on the issue of whether there's an emergency or not. We're saying even if there is an emergency, as the president states, and he says there's an emergency at the border with Canada, which there is not. But just to put that aside, even if there is an emergency that triggers the IEEPA, he doesn't have the authority to impose tariffs. The IEEPA is used to issue sanctions at times, freezing assets, freezing property. It was used in the Iran hostage crisis in 1979 by President Carter. It's been used against the Taliban. It's been targeted at North Korea for its nuclear capabilities. Those are the types of things it's used for, not widespread taxes against every single trading partner.
You know, it's Congress's job traditionally to do tariffs. So one of the questions is, do you even have standing as the state of California to bring this case? It would make sense maybe if a California congressperson brought it, but as the state of California, do you even have a right to bring this case?
We do. I mean, we are the largest economy of all the states, the largest state in the nation, the fifth largest economy in the world, the largest importer of any state, the second largest exporter of any state, the largest agricultural exporter, the largest manufacturer. We have an outsized economy. And because these tariffs impact every part of our economy, an outsized adverse impact on our state because of these tariffs. In particular, we have purchasing power. The products that we purchase are impacted by the tariffs. The vendors that we use impacted by the tariffs. Raising prices for California, the government of California as a purchaser, not to mention all the impacts on our businesses, our families, our workers. So we definitely have standing in that we are harmed as the fifth largest economy in the world.
All right, we know you've already sued the Trump administration 14 different times, but at the end of the week, Governor Newsom threatening another lawsuit, and his press release on it is unlike anything I've seen from him before. It's over potential cuts to the AmeriCorps service program, which was started by President Clinton back in the 90s. So here is the statement where the governor is accusing the Trump administration of giving the, quote, middle finger to volunteers and saying we will sue. And it goes on to suggest that the Trump administration is telling people, quote, go F yourself. You're on your own. Do you agree with him that President Trump is telling Californians
go F yourself?
I think he's telling volunteers you're not important. And a lot of people could express that in a lot of different ways. But by pulling funding that has been appropriated by Congress and has been given for decades now to our volunteers to make our communities better, I think he is telling our volunteers that I don't value you, I don't support you, I'm going to pull this funding overnight because your work's not important, and I think he's dead wrong on that.
So what does that lawsuit look like? What specifically are you going to sue on, and when does that come?
It's all in the works. We're developing it now. We're in the final stages. We're likely to file something in the coming weeks, potentially as early as next week. And it's always based on the same North Star, that the president is acting outside of his jurisdiction. He's acting unlawfully.
And lastly, the most high-profile case in California this week is likely the Menendez brothers case. Will they be paroled after 35 years for murdering their parents? Their attorney, Mark Garagos, is now suggesting that he wants to ask you to step in and remove the L.A. County District Attorney Nathan Hochman from the case. Of course, you ran against him when you became attorney general. Your thoughts on that and on the Menendez case more broadly?
You know, not a lot for me to say on this case, given our role or lack thereof at this point. Los Angeles District Attorney Hochman has been directly involved as the case continues to develop in front of him. We're mostly just observing and monitoring. And should there be a time when we have a role, we'll consider what that role is and what we'll do under the facts and under the law. But at this point, DA Hochman is leading on it.
And you have not formally been asked to step in?
Nope.
Yeah. And lastly, because we always like to end with something fun. I know your sport is soccer, but there's big basketball happening right now. Yeah. We have three teams in the NBA playoffs. Lakers, Warriors, Clippers. Who goes the farthest?
Dubs, of course. My Bay Area bias. I represented a district when I was in the legislature proudly where the Warriors played. We saw them win three championships with the great Steph Curry leading the way and Draymond and of course, others in those key roles. Now we have playoff Jimmy helping Steph, Jimmy Butler, in the postseason. So we're looking for them to take on and defeat Houston, go deep into the playoffs, and maybe bring California another championship. But if they don't, because I represent all of California, I'm rooting for the Clippers or the Lakers to do the same if the Warriors stumble.
Proof that he is not running for governor, at least not yet, that he did the hometown team instead of the team where there's more votes. So
very non-gubernatorial candidate response.
Yeah, there you go. Keeping it being honest, Mr. Attorney General Rob Bonta, thanks so much. Always great to see you.
You too, Alex. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Our thanks to Rob Bonta. Now, let's talk with our panel. But first, a little more sound from Governor Newsom.
No state in America is more impacted by Trump's tariffs.
Governor Newsom talking to our guest from last week, Brian Tyler Cohen, on his No Lie podcast this week, right after suing the Trump administration over tariffs. Let's talk about that and more with our all-star panel this week. Bob Schrum is the director of the USC Center for the Political Future, bringing together both sides for civil discourse. Before that, he was one of the most experienced and celebrated political strategists in the history of the Democratic Party. Jessica Milan Patterson is currently serving as a fellow teaching at Bob's USC Center for the Political Future. She just stepped down from her longtime role as the chairwoman of California's Republican Party. Bob, Jessica, welcome back to The Issue Is. And because I am a Trojan alum and because you guys are here representing USC, fight on.
Fight on.
Fight on. We love it. There we go. So let's get into it. We just heard from Rob Bonta on our show. I'm sure you have a different take than he did. What do you think of this idea of California suing the Trump administration over tariffs?
Once again, Governor Newsom is focusing on something that Californians are not asking him to focus on. If he cares so much about taxes and regressive taxes as at that, he could have done things like roll back the gas tax. We have some of the highest taxes here in California, whether it's income tax or gas tax. He wouldn't have to use taxpayer dollars to sue the federal government. This is, once again, a political stunt by the Newsom administration, but also not something that we should be surprised by.
But don't you think people are upset about tariffs?
I think that people are watching and waiting to see what happens. President Trump was elected in November because he is a deal maker. Mm. And we definitely saw some volatility last week and over the couple of weeks in the market. And now things are starting to settle out. And now deals are starting to be made. Japan's coming to the table. hundreds of countries are reaching out to make deals. This is about making America great again, and that's what President Trump is negotiating
on. Bob, you think this is a negotiation to make America great again?
No. The Dow has lost 4,000 to 5,000 points since this started. I don't think things are stabilizing or shaking out yet. But that's not the issue here. It involves something called the Major Questions Doctrine, where the Supreme Court, and you asked Attorney General Bonta this, so I'm going to answer it. The Supreme Court has twice struck down what presidents are trying to do if they're not specifically authorized in the statute to do that thing.
And these were both Democratic presidents that they did this with.
Biden's student loan forgiveness was struck down because the statute he was invoking didn't mention that. And so were the regulations on power plants. So the question here is whether or not the court's going to consistently apply this standard. If it does, California will win the lawsuit.
To Jessica's point, though, that this is about politics, this is about Newsom being able to get himself on the front page nationwide, not talk about some of the local issues. What do you think about that?
I think tariffs are a local issue in California. The Port of Los Angeles, the biggest port in the country, it's going to be negatively impacted. You're going to see a lot of businesses here feel tremendous pressure from the tariffs. I myself would not have minded some reciprocal tariffs with countries that were actually discriminating against the U.S.
Meanwhile, another big issue that impacts California in a big way is immigration. We see this big fight. This guy, Kilmer Abrego Garcia, has become the poster boy for this issue. He was deported. Big questions over how he was deported, whether it was a clerical error, but he ended up in El Salvador. Chris Van Hollen, the Democratic senator, went there, met with him this week. More that's come out about him, and the Trump administration saying he was an MS-13 gang member, he was a wife beater, he was not a good dude. Of course, his current wife says he is a good dude. How do you feel like this whole thing is playing out?
Well, she was on one of the morning shows today and wouldn't even discuss any of those allegations. So I don't know that she's saying that he was a good dude. I think that what we have seen over the last several months, Americans asked for our border to be secured. Mm-hmm. We saw in that first month, illegal crossings went down by 96%. President Trump said he was going to be serious about illegal immigration. You come here illegally, you don't do it properly, you commit crimes, you are a gang member, you are going to have to suffer the consequences. I think this is a terrible issue for Democrats to be utilizing this man as their poster child. They continue to be on the wrong side of 80-20 issues. And right now, Americans want their border secure.
Yeah, I mean, Governor Newsom called this a distraction and said it is an 80-20 issue, but a lot of Democrats are saying it's more than that. This is about due process. It's about the Constitution. What do you say?
It's not an 80-20 issue, but it is the one place where the president's approval rating right now is at or above 50%. Otherwise, it's collapsed. Yeah. But when you go beneath the overall question of immigration to how this was handled, majorities of people, clear majorities in all the polling say there has to be due process before you deport someone. Bad dude, went after his wife, first wife, whatever. That's not to be adjudicated on a morning talk show or from the White House press podium. That is to be adjudicated in front of a judge. And the idea we can't get him back is absurd. We're paying $6 million to this guy to
if President Trump said bring him back, he would be back in a second. But to that point about due process, Jessica, do you think that we need to have due process? And if the court, especially the Supreme Court, says to President Trump, you got to bring him back, do you think he needs to listen?
I believe in following the laws. And when you come here illegally, that should be the first consideration.
So if he gets a court order from the Supreme Court of the United States, should President Trump follow that?
I think that it is incredibly arrogant for the United States of America to be taking a citizen from his country of origin and telling them what they should be doing.
So the answer, that's not
a
yes?
The question.
I mean, how is that not a yes?
I think that the
Supreme Court,
right,
which
now
has a bunch of conservative justices on, and we're not talking some rogue random judge. I mean, if the Supreme Court gives President Trump a specific order, Is that that's a question whether he should follow that?
Well, I don't think that it's a question of whether he can follow it or not. It's or if he should, it's whether he can or not. And right now, this man is in his country of origin where he is a citizen. Yeah. And they are saying they are not sending
him
back.
Hey. This guy who the dictator who runs El Salvador is a buddy of President Trump's. We're paying him $6 million to house these people. And you're absolutely right. If the president asked for him to come back, he'd be back here in a day.
Yeah, although we don't think he's asking for him to come
back. No, I don't either.
Anytime soon. When we come back, huge crowds for Bernie Sanders and AOC. What does this mean about the future of the Democratic Party? And one of your favorite places, Bob, I know it's Coachella, right? You're there with the rave. I mean, he's got the pink. You can imagine the neon that he brings with him every weekend. Well, Bob wasn't the only guy from his generation who was hanging at Coachella this weekend. Take a look.
We need you to stand up to fight for justice.
That is Bernie Sanders' surprise appearance at the Coachella Festival on the same week that he drew huge crowds up and down the state alongside Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Back with our panel, longtime Democratic strategist Bob Schramm, former chair of the California Republican Party, Jessica Milan Patterson. Bob, you're the Democrat, so you're the expert here. What do you think these huge crowds that Bernie is drawing says about where the Democrats are right now?
First, generationally, I have to tell you, he's older than I am. Secondly, I don't think they tell us a lot about where the party's going to go. What's happened in elections for a long time in these primaries is there's a question that people ask. I mean, when in 2008, it was who stands most for change? Mm-hmm. And that was Barack Obama. In 2024, the question became, is Joe Biden too old? Whether that was fair or unfair, and after that debate performance, a lot of people thought it was fair. I think the question in 2028 is going to be, who has the best chance to win the election?
What do you make of the crowds? I mean, because there's an argument that the progressives have been shut out by the party election after election, and it looks like there's the real energy is on the left.
Please continue to do this. In fact, I have a list of places I would like them to go. I would like you to go to Orange County. I would like you to go anywhere in the Inland Empire, anywhere in the Central Valley. I'd love you to go to the Lancaster-Palmdale area. If you could go to all of those
All the closest elections for congressional races is what she just mentioned.
Yeah. And I would love it if you would also have the members of Congress and the candidates that are running in this area with you. Because Democrats continue to fall on the wrong side of these issues when it comes to what real Californians and Americans are looking at, right? Right now in California, when we have the highest income tax, the highest gas tax, the highest cost of living here, this is what Californians are focused on.
Who would scare you? Who is the Democratic leader you think would be the biggest threat to Republicans?
Well, I've said it for a while now. I think Shapiro out of Pennsylvania
has been a
really, you know, normal voice within the Democrat Party.
Who do you think?
The Democratic Party has a lot of talented people, and I'm unwilling to predict who's going to emerge until we see them out there campaigning. Yeah. Remember, Howard Dean was going to be the Democratic nominee in 2004. And as Democrats looked at him and looked at him and looked at him, suddenly third in Iowa, yeah, loses New Hampshire and basically out of the race.
And your guy, John Kerry, the race you were running, ended up becoming the nominee in that situation. Yeah, I mean, we'll see. Your friend James Carville likes to say, let them run in terms
He's
of
right.
horses. Get
He's
them
right.
out on the track. You can look at them in the stable, but unless they're running, you can't really get a sense. Up next, a surprise for our pal, Bob Schramm.
Don't you think the problem for a lot of black children deprived in the inner city living in broken homes is not that they don't get smacked enough, but that they probably get smacked around too much, especially in their neighborhoods? And
that, that is Bob Schramm on Firing Line back in 1988. Part of the reason we're taking a walk down memory lane with Bob is that Bob is retiring from his role as the director of the USC Center for the Political Future. Bob is back, along with Jessica Milan Patterson, who is a fellow at the center that Bob runs. Talk about the center and what it means to you and sort of what you've tried to bring with it.
Well, it's a unique institution in the sense that My co-director is Mike Murphy, the Republican consultant. We have fellows who are Democrats and Republicans. We have conferences where we have really civil exchanges. Yeah. Look, I have no illusions that by ourselves we're going to change the nature of the dialogue. Mm-hmm. But we can at least model and help to advance some kind of public forum where people respect each other and respect the truth.
And Jessica, I know it was important for you to be a part of that. What have you learned from Bob and the work he's done at the center?
It has just been so, first of all, I have felt so incredibly welcomed at USC and the Center for Political Futures. And Bob has just done a phenomenal job, along with Mike Murphy, to make everyone feel welcome. I happen to share an office with the former Speaker of the Assembly, who is a Democrat.
Anthony Rendon.
Anthony Rendon. And we just have a great time. And it is. It's about civil discourse. It's about making sure that all points of view are discussed. And what I will also say is that they do a phenomenal job with the students there.
And just on a personal note, these are some images of us together. You have been so great to me and to our show from the time it started. I think you're one of the most generous and kind people. You're a real mensch who lifts up everybody around you. And to learn from you is like, you know, sitting in a master class. And we're so grateful to have your perspective here. That's not going away.
Thank you.
We're not done with that.
Thank you. I'm now tongue-tied.
But, yeah, but we love you, and I hope you feel the love because you deserve it after all this
Thank
time.
Thank you, Jessica.
Yeah. Oh, my pleasure.
Yeah.
Another big shout out to Bob Schrum. Thanks to him and to Jessica and to Attorney General Bonta for joining us this week on The Issue Is. Next week on The Issue Is, we will be talking with a new candidate for California governor. We'll also be talking with Amy Parnes, the author of the best-selling new book, Fight, telling the real story of the 2024 election. There's a lot of really interesting stuff in there. And with us is a new candidate for state senate, Brian Goldsmith, who has been one of our most frequent guests here on The Issue Is, who just for the first time in his life stepped into the arena. That's next week on The Issue Is. For now, I'm Alex Michelson. Thanks so much for listening. Really appreciate it.